Frank, hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah. It is Thursday, January the 4th, year of our Lord, 2024. This is the Fakeologist Show, and here she is.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
Sister Janet Mead, singing the Lord's Prayer.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
And this is Frank's favorite prayer. He says it every day, and he says good things come of it, so we play it as the intro to our show. I wonder if we can get Sister Janet Mead on the broadcast. Did we determine, Frank, whether she's alive or not?
I haven't determined it. Should I? I might have an IMDb right now.
All right. There's no reason.
By the way, I don't just say it once a day. I think I say it multiple times a day.
Oh, fantastic. Now, also on the line, on the phone line, so that means it's going to be difficult for me to take phone calls. Also on the line is a longtime listener and a donor and a patron and a contributor in emails anyway. And his name is Chester, and he hails from my hometown, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Welcome to the broadcast, Chester.
Thanks, Tim. And personally, I prefer the Morningside theme that you often play at the top of the show.
Yes. Well, you would, because you're a Torontonian. You're about my age, so you're used to it. And
I used to listen to CBC all the time. And so, I always get a kick out of hearing that theme on your show.
Yeah, I do,
too. It's pretty good, isn't it?
And you know the closing theme music was from A Time to Talk, CKO Radio, from the 80s in Toronto?
That I don't recognize.
Yeah, well, CKO was a failure on the radio, and they had a talk show. And they had a really amateur-sounding evening host that I actually enjoyed listening to, because for me, the more amateur, the more I like it. So hopefully this broadcast can stay rather amateurish, which, because I do all the sounds and whatnot, it has to be, because I can't really split my brain too many ways without losing it. But anyway, I really liked that theme song, and I actually reached out to a really internet savvy technician who has, I think he has his own show on CFRB, and his name is Ian Grant. And I asked him, I said, do you have any idea, recollection of this talk show and this theme music? And Ian Grant got back to me right away and said, do you think it is it this? He gave me a couple to choose from, and I listened to both, and it was an Alan Parsons theme music, and it's called Mama Gamma. I knew the song. I didn't even know it was Alan Parsons, because it's an instrumental, and I love Alan Parsons. So I'm using that for now until we get sick of that and we have to go on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it turns out, strangely, that Janet Mead died in January 22, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's when you first started playing that tune.
January of 2022?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I hope she didn't take the clot shot.
You wonder, don't you?
Well, that's the only question that I ever ask these days.
Yeah. Anyone who dies, it's like, yeah, did they take that shot?
Well, I kind of say, when anyone asks how I am, I say, well, I didn't get the jab, so I'm fine.
Well, Chester, now that you were on the broadcast a while ago, and in between those two appearances, this appearance and that appearance, do you know anyone that's been hurt or potentially killed by the vaccine since then?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, no.
A very good friend of mine, a cartoonist friend named Joe Matt, who I know he did, get vaxxed. A few months ago, he died suddenly of a heart attack.
How old was he, approximately?
60. So
that's young.
Of course it's too young.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's starting to get within the range of the age when, people are starting to die of heart attacks. So who knows if it was the facts. Not that I think, even if I don't know that the vax was responsible. Of course, it didn't do his heart any good, I don't think, to get it. Let me think. Another friend had a heart attack, but survived that. Another friend of mine, his girlfriend, had a seizure and hit her head so hard that she ended up dying.
Yeah.
She was a young woman. She was like around 30.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm going to do a show on Mondays. And if we just take phone calls like that, like this, that will be enough for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to fill the hour up pretty easily. I have moved all my vaccine related content to allshotsclot.com. That's a Fakeologist sublog. So you'll see the Fakeologist domain when you go to allshotsclot.com. And really, it's because I do believe that every vaccine has some kind of damage, and it's all because of blood clots, and it's all because when you're poisoned, your white blood cells rush to the area of the poison, and they're so big that they end up jamming up capillaries, and then you have things called microstrokes and end vascular ischemia. And all this was described by Dr. Andrew Molden, who was a Toronto physician. I don't know if he was a full physician or not, but suffice it to say he was drummed out of the industry and allegedly died in obscurity in his 40s about 10 years ago. But he still put out some pretty good content. And I've got most of it on FakoTube as far as I can tell. And I think it's valuable. He doesn't really speak 100% clearly in most of the audios because it's such poor recording, but you get the gist of it. And I took away end vascular ischemia, and it makes so much sense because just so many illnesses, diseases are just triggered by areas of your body that are killed or injured or replaced with scar tissue, which is non-functional tissue, whether it be your pancreas, whether it be your fingertips, whether it be the myelin sheath on your nerves that go to the base of your brain, and then that causes short circuiting, which then presents as autism, which is just your nervous system, your sensory system short circuiting. That's all it is. But it makes the person look like they're crazy, I suppose. But really, they're in the worst situation of all. They got a brain that probably works, but their nervous system, their senses that control their speech and hearing and touch are all going haywire all the time. So his theory makes the most sense to me. So hopefully it makes the most sense to you guys if you watch it. So that's what we're doing on Mondays. And next Monday we have a guest who gave me a laundry list of illness, injury, and death from her family. So I said, why don't you come on and talk about it? You'll be the inaugural guest.
Inaugural.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. See, I'm not trying to bring bad karma to the world. I'm really just trying to create an outlet for people to talk about it. But hopefully that'll be valuable. So, you know, Chester can come on with his stories, but you just gave your testimony, which is extensive enough, I think, for most people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also a cousin had a weird reaction. He had a bout of amnesia.
Okay.
So that it took a while to recover from. So yeah, that was a strange one.
Now this video on my screen is with Steve Kirsch and a nurse named Gail McCrae, who worked at Kaiser Permanente somewhere in Californication there. And I think she's the real deal. And I know there's a lot of actors in this PSYOP, so she seems realistic sounding enough. She describes the vaccine damage. They administer the vaccine in her hospital in the basement. So she said there was at least 2 code blues per shift to go to the basement. And that could only mean one thing. And that's anaphylaxis. So that's a tremendous, ridiculously high rate of anaphylaxis and effect. And then there's Steve Kirsch, who does the interviewing. He seems sincere. I know he has a sketchy past, but right. that doesn't mean you can't turn around. And even though he thinks viruses are real, he's still, to me, he's doing more good than harm. So I put it on FakoTube, and that's also on allshotsclot.com. And
yeah, I just listened to that Steve Kirsch video. It was very interesting.
Well, not just the vaccines, but I don't know if they're still doing the COVID protocol when you go to the hospital. I have no idea if it's still happening. No one's really. But you get on that, and that's you got a 50-50 chance of being killed by the hospital, as far as I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So what the so that's that broad that's that website. As if I'm not.
Oh, is this Monday show? Is that going to be on FakoTube?
Yeah, FakoTube. All our normal outlets. Everything is going to be using the same platform.
Okay.
Like I said, I just segregated the post because the vaccine topic is. It's not because it's controversial in the sense that it's not really, because I think it is fakeologist related, but it's only it's not related enough to fakeology, in my opinion. So it just needs its own space. And it was clogging up the fakeologist blog. So I just thought I'll put it over here. Because how many times can we say the vaccines are killing people before it gets boring? It's still important. So I just wanted to segregate it, but I'm going to use all the same phone lines. I can't have a duplicate system for that. And it'll use FakoTube, and I'll post the stuff on BitChute because I like BitChute right now, but FakoTube is where it'll be at.
Great. Oh, by the way,
yeah.
I was looking for the show you did with Lynn Ertel on Tuesday on FakoTube. It doesn't seem to be there, or at least it wasn't earlier today.
Okay, let's take a look at that, because we were having issues with FakoTube, so we're going to look for that right here. I guess people can't, maybe you can't see it. I can see it, but maybe no one else can see it, because the view count is not working. So here it is here. So it is here. But yeah, I was,
okay.
I'm puzzled and wuzzled by
January the 2nd, year of our...
Because the count hasn't moved, so now I'm really puzzled by what the hell's going on. So now I'll have to look into that. But it is on the audio. You got the audio version, I hope.
Well, I went to my podcast app, and it was on there. So I listened just without, you know, the visuals.
Okay, I appreciate you pointing that out. Anyone with technical problem, go ahead, point it out to me. And I think I see why. The guy that develops the software, he changes things every day. And I only update the site once a week. And that was at the beginning of the week that one didn't go through because he changed something. So you're right. It was unpublished. I'm gonna publish it now. So you should see it. So thank you for that technical issue. You know, if I'm not posting, I get technical issues all day long. Can't log in. Can't do this. Can't do that. I really try and help the best that I can. So there you go. It should be there now. So everyone go watch it. There's not a lot to see, but it is, I guess, sometimes to read fun to read the chat on the sidebar there.
Yep. Good episode with Lynn. She's always great.
Always delivers. Always
delivers. I should say that I do think the COVID thing and the jabs are the perfect FAKO topic.
Okay.
Especially as, you know, in my mind, the actual idea of that there was an illness was clearly faked. You know, There's no supporting evidence of anything untoward happening at all in 2020 from an illness point of view.
The hospitals were empty and the nurse did confirm that.
And they had nothing to do. You know, and the statistics that you can find certainly in Australia, and I think other countries show that 2020 had the lowest number of registered deaths per capita. So, in fact, probably one of the healthiest years on record was 2020. And then there is the subsequent controversy about whether the jabs are doing any damage or not. I mean, there is I would have to, you would have to say considerable conjecture going on within the fakeology milieu about whether damage has been caused or not.
That is correct. But
so in my view, it has really been, I think connecting with fakeology affected my decision making on how I approached what occurred over the past, well, it's now 4 years.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're using your fakeologist training to evaluate it, I think you'll be way better off, which you are.
Well, I think I am, but there would be many, you know, I would suggest there are people even that are regular listeners that would not necessarily agree that the jabs have been harmful or that anything weird happened. You know, and, you know, would have done any harm to just go along to get along.
It would have been tempting if you weren't suspicious in the first place, but. Okay, let's get to Chester's email, because that's the point of the show. And I don't know if you want to read it or you want to just summarize it, but it was a good one. And you really tied in all elements of fakeology, and we have influenced your worldview. And of course.
Well, I vote for Chester reading it out if he doesn't mind.
Okay.
Okay. I can read it. Sure. Okay. Anyway, I'll just launch in.
Sure.
Hey, Tim.
Hello.
I went to a theater, Toronto's TIFF Lightbox, on New Year's Eve to see Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut with some friends. It was their idea. It's not a film I have any particular affection for. But now that I've been exposed to fakeology, I saw the film in a different light. It could very well be that I notice that what I noticed has been noted before by fakeologists. But on the chance that this interpretation of the film has not been made before, I figured I'd let you know what caught my attention. You've probably seen the film, but here's the basic plot setup anyway. A doctor, Bill, and his wife go to a party hosted by a couple, the Ziegler's. During the party, Ziegler, the husband, has Bill brought into a bathroom where a prostitute has overdosed on drugs, apparently while Ziegler had been having sex with her. Ziegler asks Bill, because he's a doctor, to help revive the prostitute, whose name is Mandy. Bill does so. Through a chance encounter with an old friend at the party, Bill ends up the next night infiltrating a mysterious, super elite, secret society religious ceremony / orgy in which everyone wears masks. The hosts of this ceremony orgy figure out that Bill is not supposed to be there. It seems that something bad is about to happen to him, but a naked masked woman intercedes on his behalf. She is led away to seemingly face whatever punishment was intended for Bill, while he is released with the warning that he keep his mouth shut about what he's witnessed. The next night, he finds out that Mandy, the prostitute at the Ziegler party, has died, and he goes to a hospital where he sees her corpse. Putting two and two together, he assumes that Mandy was the naked woman who saved him at the mysterious ceremony orgy, and she's been killed as a result. Ziegler has Bill brought to Ziegler's home, and this conversation ensues. And then I
can play it.
You
want me to play it? That might be relevant.
I don't know. The whole video is sort of longish, isn't it?
Oh, it's 7 minutes. That's right.
Yeah.
That might be too long.
I'll just read the relevant part.
Okay.
At the 2-minute mark of that video excerpt, the characters say this.
I can play that part.
If you want, sure. Cue up.
There we go.
Bill. Suppose I told you that everything that happened to you there, the threats, the girl's warnings, her last minute intervention. Suppose I said that all of that was staged. That it was a kind of charade. That it was fake.
Fake.
Yes. Fake.
Why would they do that?
Why? In plain words, to scare the living shit out of you.
Okay. That's
good. All right. Yeah. Okay. So there's the fakeologist point of view in that.
Right. That caught my attention. Yeah. Anyway, I'll continue reading.
All right.
Bill objects, if it was fake, then why did Mandy end up dead? Ziegler answers as if Mandy really did die. But I was wondering if she did. Bill didn't see her die. Neither does the film audience, and it would be possible to prepare a fake corpse for Bill to see. I found myself wondering if the story is an allegory, with Bill as a stand-in for the masses who the super elite fool with their fake events and fake deaths. After the film, I proposed to my friends that that's what Kubrick was suggesting, at least in part. There are obviously other messages in it. They dismissed the idea, saying that it wouldn't be realistic for any group to go to all that effort to fool one person. And my friends are right. It wouldn't be realistic. But who says an allegory has to be realistic? To give an example from another film, The Truman Show, in which the whole world is in on fooling Truman with a fake reality, that film isn't realistic. Television producers couldn't in reality get away with raising a child that way in front of a worldwide audience. It's an allegory, or at least conspiracy theorists and fakeologists interpret it as one. I don't know, should we, I mean, I wrote more, but
yeah, I like this, Frank.
Should we stop at that point, or should I go on to the Mr. E part of the...
Half the audience loves Mr. E and androgyny. I like it.
Okay, well, I'll go straight on.
Well, wait, Frank, are you there still? Frank, are you awake?
I was on mute.
Okay.
I have several acquaintances that sometimes wonder if everything's just being done for them personally.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said you've got friends that say it's unrealistic to think that the Truman Show could be real, I sometimes wonder. It's almost as if everybody has a life individually tailored to them sometimes.
Mm. Right.
And perhaps I think that would be almost a biblical interpretation, wouldn't it? That the Creator gives us what we need.
Right. Yeah, that we do have these individually tailored lives. Yes. Although, I mean, that's certainly a possibility and one I'm willing to consider.
Okay. Should we press on? It looks like we have at least one commenter. Dingo says, keep reading. Dingo Baby says, keep reading.
Keep reading.
Only need one person to say keep reading.
Okay. Another thing caught my eye watching the film. At the beginning of the mysterious ceremony, Many naked, masked women are standing in a circle. I couldn't help but notice that these women all had similar body types that didn't strike me as being very womanly. I wouldn't have thought of this if I hadn't been listening to Mr. E on your show. But all of the women in the circle were supermodel tall and had broad shoulders, narrow hips, and flattish asses. Mm-hmm. While none of them were flat-chested, none of them were large-breasted either, and it looked to me like some of them had implants. It was uncanny how similar their bodies were and how none of them had curvy, womanly bodies. One of the male characters says something like, "I've never seen women like that before." It seems as if the guy is supposed to be implying that these are particularly attractive women, but a different understanding of what he's saying could have been meant, that they aren't really women. We don't see the faces of most of the women in the scene, but one of the women is Mandy, and we do see her face. And then I provided a photograph or a screenshot from the film of Mandy's face, and I continue writing. That looks like a masculine face to me. Maybe Mr. E has already commented on that aspect of Eyes Wide Shut, but I haven't heard him on the subject. All of this got me wondering if other female characters in the film might have been played by MTF actors. For instance, there's a prostitute character named Domino. And then I provide a screenshot of Domino's face. By a strange coincidence, as I was contemplating Domino and this matter yesterday, I got a phone call from a friend who lives in Los Angeles. When I mentioned that I'd seen Eyes Wide Shut the night before, she said, "Oh, I have a friend who was in that film." When I asked what character her friend played, she said, "Domino."
That's amazing. There she is. Put her on the screen.
It kind of links to what Frank was just saying about individually tailored lies. Not knowing what I'd been suspecting, she added, "I've known her since we were teens." If this actor was female in her teens, then she must have been born female. In those days, it was uncommon to transition in one's teen years. If I was wrong in suspecting the gender of that actress, then maybe I was wrong in suspecting Mandy and the women at the ceremony. Maybe all of the female characters really were played by female, maybe all of the female characters were played by female actors, and Mr. E has got me suspecting untrue things. I'm willing to believe that there are tall, real women who have broad shoulders, narrow hips, and flat asses. Nevertheless, something seems off to me about the naked women in that ceremony secret society scene. At the very least, it's an extremely narrow representation of feminine beauty. But maybe Kubrick was just into that tall, thin, supermodel look. I'm not sure that's a satisfying answer. If it was somehow possible to gather in a circle all of the women I've known who I've found to be beautiful, there would be a much greater variety of body types than we see in the ceremony scene. Was Kubrick really that narrowly focused in the women he found beautiful? Whether or not those were real women in that scene, perhaps Kubrick was pointing out that the elites are pushing a certain representation of female beauty, one that's at odds with what heterosexual men really naturally find beautiful. Sorry for a rambling email, blah, blah, blah. I write some more other stuff, but yeah, but that's basically the end.
Well, then you talk about going into the unisex washrooms at the theater.
Okay. Yes. After the film, I went into one of the washrooms at the light box. There are no longer at the light box. These are no longer identified by gender. There are neither men's rooms nor women's rooms in the institution. I was amused at the "fuck you" tag that someone added to this sign. And it's a sign about, it was a sign telling people to wash their hands with soap and water, Yeah, the sign says, fuck you.
So. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
You're supposed to sing Jolene by EGI Dolly Parton to figure out how long to wash your hands.
I forgot there is that Mr. E link there because of his suspicions about.
And don't forget, what song did she change Jolene into for the pandemic?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that too.
Vaccine. Oh my God, isn't that crazy? Dolly and vaccine song. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's me. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know.
Oh, there you go. So there's Dolly Parton.
That's a chin and a half, isn't it?
Yeah.
One and a half chins.
So that was a really good email. I really appreciate that. That was a ton of thought. People think you can just whip off an email, but I consider that a lot of work to create such a piece of prose there. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah,
John, where are you at now then with
Chester?
With AGI. Chester, I should say.
What's your
Sorry.
What's your take on elite gender inversion or not so elite gender inversion? I know someone told me not to say elite.
I think there's something going on there. I don't know if you remember, Tim. I sent you another email about another similar case. I was watching a film from 1960 called Never on Sunday, also which featured prostitution in it. Mm-hmm. And the main prostitute character, I was watching the film and I was like, why am I so unattracted? Like, why did they choose such an unattractive woman? And then the more I was watching it, the more I was suspecting, I'm not sure this really is a woman. What was the actress's name?
What year was that?
1960, Never on Sunday, I think.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I think the actress's name is Melina Mercouri.
Yeah.
And I know I sent you some photos of her, and you completely agree that she looked quite masculine. Actually, an attractive person.
Yeah.
But just looked much more like. Her face would be handsome on a guy.
Well, look at that jawline there. Whew.
Right.
Can you see the screen? I can't. Are you watching?
No, I'm offline.
You can't see anything that I'm playing. I've got Melina Mercouri. Oh, there he goes, pulling off her top. And just the name Mercouri, of course, is Mercury.
Right.
So there's a lot of predictive words there. I'm sure that's not her real name. But that's a real, just the shot I'm looking at now. Whoa, Frank, you looking at that?
Yep.
Yeah, the face, the jawline, the face. It's hard not to see it. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So I think there's something going on there. I don't agree with Mr. E in every case, like in Eyes Wide Shut, he's convinced that Nicole Kidman was born a guy. Yes.
But you don't think that's possible?
I don't see it the way I see it with Melina Mercouri. I'm not as
we can't all see the same things at the same time. That's fair. Right.
Right. I have to confess that I'm not a person that thinks that I think that these are changed in utero. So in other words, if they are their DNA is a male, they're given horse hormones that produces female genitalia and vice versa. That's what I think is going on. Because there may be some mutilation and so on going on. But I suspect that there is a lot of you know, that kind of manipulation through hormones, because these people don't have babies.
Mm.
You know, the Nicole yeah. Kidman's got no children.
Now, let me just read Mr. E. I bounced your email to Mr. E. I bounced it to Frank, of course, who's on the line, and also Esoteric, who loves film as well. He's a great student of films. He does his talks every Saturday morning or Sunday morning or both on the Fakeologist Network, and we're glad to have him on. And Mr. E said, thanks, haven't seen that movie for a while, but he has some good insights. I'd agree about the fake narratives to scare anyone. Everyone being a major theme of the movie. The main tranny is Nicole Kidman and even Tom Cruise. Not sure about all the other ones. The comment about not seeing women like this before probably is a reference to the inverts. Another thing about that movie is there's always a lot of lamps in every scene, possibly a reference to truth hiding in plain sight, or the truth just being out of sight. It's probably one of those movies where every single line of dialogue and every image has some secret meaning known only to the initiated. They are pantheists who believe that we are all different masks of God, and everything is just an illusion anyway. That's probably another theme of the movie. So that's from the great Mr. E. I like that. Did you get that reply, by the way?
I did, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure who I bounced it to. And Rick says, I've watched the film many times, always more to spot. It's got to be the most analyzed film of all time for conspiracy theorists. Did you know that? Did you guys consider that?
I did not, although I could have guessed that. Like, you know, I actually feel a little bit self-conscious coming on here. Like, I've only seen the film two times. This is only my second time seeing it. And the, you know, the previous time was many years ago. Yeah, there are all these people who've seen it so many times that you know, I know there are lots of theories about it.
Well, Stanley Kubrick is neck deep in conspiracy himself. A lot of people think he did the Moon movie. A lot of people think he did 9/11 movie, which.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Why not? He took, maybe he's still alive. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
Maybe he had to leave. Maybe he had to quote unquote die in July of 1999 because he had to finish the 9/11 movie. And we know movies take a few years.
Yeah. It's a suspicious, death. Just, you know, happening so soon after. Of course, there are people, the conspiracy theorists, who think he was killed as a result of supposedly revealing some secret in Eyes Wide Shut.
I suggest the intelligence community who creates these things, they put that out there.
Right.
Because it was promoted.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot to think about. And, we'll all have to watch that again. And it's
Anyway, you were reading, was it Eric's email?
Rick.
Oh, Rick's.
Esoteric Rick.
Right.
Great name, by the way. So that was it. So
That was it. Oh.
I finished. That was the whole list of people I thought were relevant, potentially had an insight into this conversation. Now, is anyone in the chat has anything to say on that? You can type it in.
Well, Greg Shantz is saying that... who was the director you were talking about 3 seconds
Kubrick.
Ago?
Kubrick.
His daughter does not think he faked the moon landing.
Okay, well, what does she know? Who talks to their children?
One of the most amusing things from that time era is about the porn movies. You know, the Debbie Does Dallas and so on.
Okay.
Where the thing that basically I've heard is that they were all men. All of the porn stars were men.
Okay.
In that particular movie?
In Debbie Does Dallas and other porn movies from that era that were coming out at the time.
Oh, okay.
So there wasn't single woman amongst the.
Did they do crotch shots back in the day, or were they?
As far as I know.
Okay.
These are movies from more or less my childhood.
Now, Dingo says he said a bunch above. And he says the movie plays out as true while not being the truth. And he says all these shows follow the anti-mother idea. Androgen is the Kabbalistic goal. And he also says Aldous Huxley explains this in detail. The androgen is the same as the communist comrade. I like that. That's pretty good. Ab, can you recommend Sean McManus' Eyes Wide Shut analysis for me? It is wonderful. Who's Sean McManus?
I don't know of him.
Okay. Well, if you have a link, Napoleon Wilson, if you have a link, put it somewhere. Sean McCann. It's not McManus. It's Sean McCann.
Oh, Sean McCann from yeah. Wake the Dead. Is that his show?
Yeah, he's okay. Well, put a link in. Somebody look it up. Don't make me do all the work. We'll find. I'll post that. Napoleon also says Chester is very interesting. I'd love his eye on that analysis. Very, very good. Okay. Dingo Baby says Mr. E is dead on with the Judge Kavanaugh thing. Okay. It looks like we got a link from Napoleon. Can I click this? I don't even know if I can click it. I can't click it, but I'll put it on the screen. That's not going to help anybody, though.
The other thing I'd say, you know, about the more convincing ones like Nicole Kidman is, again, they don't have children.
Okay. Well, Tom Cruise gets rid of his wife every 10 years and replaces her with a 33-year-old, doesn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Or gets rid of him at 33, doesn't he? And in fact, I saw one of his ex-wives that was on 90109010, or whatever it's called.
And she yeah, if you looked... put the link in FakoTube, I can click the links on FakoTube. If anyone wants to do it, put it in there for me. Grab it from YouTube and put it in FakoTube chat. Don't forget the links in FakoTube chat are clickable, and they're also put in the comments in the FakoTube final video. And don't forget, FakoTube videos are up within 5 minutes of the show being over. YouTube don't, I don't even think they get their thing up within 24 hours. So FakoTube is where it's at. And of course, everyone who donates to this broadcast helps fund FakoTube. And it needs all the funding it can get because it's a work in progress all the time.
Another thing about Eyes Wide Shut is the musical score is really annoying. I don't know, Frank, you rewatched the film. What did you think?
I didn't get annoyed by it.
Okay. Man, it was bugging me.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Greg put the link in here. And I'll put this in the show notes.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to listen to this later, but I'll.
No, I'm interested. We haven't mentioned the fact that Ziegler is a Jewish name. Are we too afraid to say that? is that?
It actually had not occurred to me. Of course, it should have, but.
No one's afraid to say it here.
Sure. Yes, it is a Jewish name. I was reading.
And so is Sidney Pollack. He is Ziegler of the movie.
Yeah.
He's a top movie.
I was just reading the Wikipedia entry on the movie earlier today.
Oh, hang on. Greg Shantz is saying, is it? I went to a Catholic school and there were Zieglers.
Ah.
Well, John Ziegler was the first president of the NHL. But, you know, is it so much a Jewish name or sort of European royalty type name? House of Ziegler. Maybe it's German. Yeah, Greg says he thinks it's German. Yeah.
Okay, that would make sense. But apparently in the novel that the film is based on, the main character, the doctor, Bill, played by Tom Cruise, is Jewish in the novel, and Kubrick changed that. He didn't want the character to be Jewish.
Is that right?
Did he say why?
I don't remember a reason being given in the Wikipedia article.
Okay, that's interesting.
I think it also mentioned that Kubrick, in other instances where Kubrick had adapted from, you know, source material, a novel or whatever, that, yeah, he always, whenever there's a Jewish character, he always changed it to a non-Jewish character.
Interesting. You'd think somebody would have figured that out, or he would have explained that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another thing. I don't really know a whole lot about Kubrick. I think I've seen all of his films. Some of them multiple times, some of them only once, depending on how I like them. Kind of a variable oeuvre. Some of them good, some of them whatever.
I think the issue is they're all agenda driven, and you know, some of the agendas are more easily to digest than others. I think where the agenda is unpleasant for people, the film seems strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering today how, because I used to love 2001.
Space Odyssey.
Yeah. That was before I realized, you know, that NASA is made up of liars and everything's pretend on there, that they show us. So if I watch the movie now, I wonder what I'd think.
You probably should watch it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think that was actually just showing at the TIFF Lightbox too. So maybe I should have gone and seen that, but I didn't think too.
Greg goes deeper. Greg's doing the research on the fly. The name Ziegler is derived from the German word Ziegelbrenner, which means brick maker. There you go. Mm-hmm. We really break it down here.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, great research here. And
By the way, go
ahead.
It was occurring to me that maybe I should bring up something from another film I recently watched.
Go ahead.
The new Scorsese movie, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay.
I thought there was something interesting in there. You guys, have either of you seen that one?
I haven't seen any movies. So,
all right.
I have a backlog of old stuff because every time Lynn does a show, she drops 3 or 4 movies.
Right.
And most of them are misses for me. I don't like them, but anyway, okay, this is new.
So, yeah, it's a pretty long one. It's like 3.5 hours, I think.
That's impossible for me.
It was too long.
It's about white people doing bad things to Indians, I guess.
You got it. So it's the story takes place in the 1920s or 1930s?
Yeah, 1920s.
Like 1920s, okay. On some Indian reservation down in the U.S., I can't remember which one.
Oklahoma. The Osages.
Okay.
I'm just reading the IMDb here, so.
Oil is struck, and yeah. So suddenly all of the residents in this tribe are rich. And so all these white people flock in and start exploiting the Indians, and lots of guys start marrying the female members of the tribe. And
yeah, I get that.
And people start, Indians start dying, and as a part of this whole story, many of the people who die of some kind of mysterious disease, and there are doctors on the white doctors there who are finding various reasons to give injections to
great undertone of the movie.
Yes, to the members of the tribe. And so these Indians, you know, they get sicker and sicker as they're given these injections.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening with the main female character, who is the male lead is played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay. And he marries an Indian woman.
Lily Gladstone.
That's her. I've never heard of her before, but
me neither.
So he's giving her these injections all through the movie, and she's getting sicker and sicker and closer to dying. And I was watching it, and I was thinking, what's going on here? It's like, you know, doctors are being presented as diagnosing these false illnesses, and they're giving people injections that are making people sick. And I was like, you know, what the movie shows is happening to the Indian people, or at least the people in this tribe, is of course what was really happening while the movie was being shot. The movie was shot in 2021.
COVID times. Yeah.
I was like, is that some kind of weird coincidence or what?
Or is that just always the way that they kill people? They poison them in the water, probably something universal. So everyone gets ill at the same time. Everyone's scared out of their brains. And for the ones that didn't get killed by whatever they put in the water, they knock them off with the vaccine. So it's a 1-2 punch. Hey, it's been going on forever now, hasn't it? It works every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think some people would argue, wouldn't they, that we're being convinced to think that the injections are more dangerous than they are, and some people would say, no, they're just, this is the way they tell the truth.
Okay.
And we're still left to try and sort this stuff out ourselves, aren't we?
You're never going to get the answers, but you can only go by the evidence they leave. And that's why I promote Catherine Watt. She has shown the legal way they have executed this in the United States.
Yeah.
And why would they do that? Why would they create all these end runs around the Constitution and all the existing laws? Why would they do that if they were trying to help? Answer, because they're not trying to help. So that's evidence. Those are black and white documents that she has put them together. Now, the average person could not put those things together. That's what a really good investigative reporter does. And when it's laid out like she puts it, I don't see how you can draw any other conclusion. It's a totally deliberate plan to get rid of people.
Yeah, as I said, the only statistical information I've got indicates there's a serious problem.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of viewers tonight. I got, I think, 24 people, unless this count is wrong, on FakoTube. And we got about 20 people on the YouTube and one on D Live. So we got a pretty good crowd tonight. And people are also listening. I think they're listening. Maybe they're not. There's nobody listening to the... I got the wrong login. There's no one listening to the audio chat because there is no audio chat. Although there was one today, but on the main show stream, there are, let's just see if I can bring this up. And let's see, is anyone listening on the live stream? Yes, there are. There are quite a few people on the live stream all the way from France, Sweden, Australia, Michigan, Illinois, North Dakota, Colorado. So lots of people. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening. And this has been pretty darn interesting tonight. And Chester is a listener and a supporter and all around good guy. And it's been very interesting so far, Frank.
So how long have you been listening to, or how long have you been a fakeologist, for want of a better word, Chester?
I think about a year and a half.
Oh wow, that's quite new.
Yeah, relatively. I was pretty much a normie, you know, up to 2020. And then the events starting in March of that year turned me around. It got me reading things and going down rabbit holes and whatnot.
And one of those rabbit holes that led you to this site.
What exactly led me to this site was I'm a cartoonist, so yes,
I was a good one too. The good one.
Thank you. I was at a Toronto comic book convention, and Greg Shantz happens to be into comics to some degree, and I ran into him there, and I don't know how we ended up on the subject of, you know, whether or not we'd received vaccines, but he found out what my inclination was on that issue, and he recommended that I start listening to the Fakeologist. Thank you, Greg.
And that, by the way, is the only way we're going to expand, is if you tell people, because we just are not going to drop into people's video playlists accidentally. So, yeah, it's really word of mouth, no doubt about it. So tell two friends and they'll tell two friends, so on and so on and so forth. And then everyone will be using that shampoo on their hair. Greg says, I knew Chester wouldn't have gotten vaccinated.
Oh, okay. Good.
How did you know, Greg?
How would you know? You know, and how do you even know anyone's telling the truth with the vaccine? I still think it's insulting to ask someone about that. Well, don't you think it's personal, your medical?
Yeah.
I think it is. They tried to make it impersonal, and they tried to make it an acceptable question, because the idea is if you didn't get vaccinated, I should stay away from you. But they really, I find it extremely invasive.
Yeah, I guess I don't ask. And in fact, now that I think, there's a group of people here in Toronto who meet every Thursday at a Mexican restaurant, who are all kind of similarly minded about this stuff. But we're still not supposed to ask each other if we got vaccinated.
Ah. Okay.
Even though it's pretty obvious, everyone.
I think most people are embarrassed to acknowledge that they've been jabbed.
Mm. No. Well, that's right. That sort of proves my point. So even in your this convention, this meeting was born from the COVID.
This group of people who meet at the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, it was born out of COVID.
Yes. Yes, I believe so. I believe they were not meeting beforehand. I didn't know about it before. How did I run it? I was walking around Word on the Street, which is a literary event here in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I saw a table kind of off of the street. And I was there with a friend, and we walked over. And they had copies of various books related to vaccination and whatnot. And they had a copy of, do you know the book Turtles All the Way Down?
Yeah, I have all of them.
Yeah.
At so Fake 11, had, yeah, sorry, fake11.com/vax. If you want to synchronize all my collection with yours, that's the link.
So they had a copy there, and I didn't have that book yet. Okay. And I was like, oh, can I buy this? And the person, one of the women there said, oh, no, that one's not for sale. But if you give me your email address, I'll get a copy to you. And basically, it turned out that to get my copy, I had to go to this Mexican restaurant.
And, wow.
And so I show up, and everyone there is like-minded, and they're like, sit down and tell us your story. And so, then I started.
Wow, he had to give a testimonial. Turtles right. All the Way Down, Vaccine, Science, and Myth by Mary Holland, who is a JD. What is JD? Juris? Something
I don't know.
Juris. I think Ace Spacer is a JD. Something about law or something. Okay, that's pretty good. Oh, Children's Health Defense. A little suspicious of those folks, but that's okay. Copyright 2022. I think they re-released it, at least on this copy. It's got COVID stuff in it at the beginning, so it looks like they did re-release it. But I believe it's an older book.
Oh, I didn't know that. I assumed it came out during COVID times.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I'll have to look into it, but
yeah. If anyone... I was not aware of it before then.
So, what was it like to be a cartoonist trying to make a living without getting jabbed?
It was pretty easy because I work at home, so I didn't have a job to go to. Whereas some of my friends who have regular day jobs and who were reluctant to get jabbed, nevertheless, they felt like they had to keep their jobs. So, as a result, I have only one friend here in Toronto who is unvaxxed. He was actually the person I was walking around that word on the street with, and he's come and joined me at the Mexican for those Mexican restaurant get-togethers too.
Well, that's good to hear. That's like a get-together. It's like a fakeologist or like-minded in person, which is very important, I think, in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've recommended the fakeologist to some people there. I don't know if they've started listening or not, but yeah.
That's all right. Everyone has their own.
That's pretty much the only, other people in my life, most people in my life, they all got vaxxed and they all believe all the stuff about COVID. And they would not be open to listening to the fakeologist.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we are a very thin slice of the conspiracy corner, for sure. I'm just looking in the comments here. I'm not sure if there's anything worth reading. Frank, you can scroll through as well if you want. But pretty big crowd tonight. Not shocked. And we've been going about an hour, so that's sort of the time frame I like to stick to if possible. But if there's any other, we could talk about a million zillion different things. I'll give, I don't know if people know Chester. Chester's, you've been on TED Talks, I think. I think I highlighted that on your last appearance here.
It wasn't actually TED. It was an event here that they used to have here in Toronto called Idea City.
Okay. It was like a TED?
It's kind of like TED.
I'm just trying to find your other appearance here. But I was listening to my Normie broadcast, the Stumble and Dread show. I don't know if you listen.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you listen to that because there aren't very many Toronto-centric podcasts that are any good, but they are professionals, and I did like it. So I still listen to it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever listened to it, no. I know the show you're listening to. For Canadian or Toronto content, I used to listen to CBC, but I can barely stomach that anymore.
I can imagine. I wouldn't even try. Okay, you were on episode 665, which is a while ago. But the only reason I bring those guys up is they had Emily Muse on, who runs a bordello in Toronto.
Oh, really?
And I won't get into your background unless you want to, but you've talked about that kind of the sex trade business before and your interest in it. And I didn't realize they started a podcast and they just started. And it's pretty interesting because they run a bordello or a rub and tug in Toronto.
Huh.
And so they're doing a podcast about that.
And what's her name?
It's Emily Muse. I'm just trying to look it up while we're talking here. Because I was listening today, And it's called, the podcast is called Muse on the Mic, M-U-S-E, Muse on the Mic. And I'll put a link to that because it is interesting. Because in Toronto, it is legal to operate a rub and tug. There's 25 licenses given out in Toronto. And anyone who doesn't have a license is operating illegally if they're just doing wholesome massage. So it's a pretty interesting podcast about running, I guess, a bordello for all intents and purposes. And these two ladies actually took on the business by trying to run a kindler, gentler operation, because most of them are run by men and these are what look to be women. I'll just say it like that. And they're trying to bring a little bit of equity to the industry. And it's pretty interesting if you're into that kind of stuff, on the fringe stuff. So I recommend Muse on the Mic. So I'll just type that in real quick so I can link. Muse on the Mic. They just started it. And here it is. It's on YouTube. It's on your favorite podcast thingy here. So here they are here. One of them's a little, well, I'm not going to get too transpicious, but here it is here.
Probably the biggest.
Here it is. Actually, pretty interesting intro music.
Welcome, everybody, to Muse on the Mic, our new podcast. I am Emily Muse.
I'm Riley.
And we are so happy to invite you guys to watch our first episode. A little bit of history about who we are. We are both co-owners of Muse Massage Spas, which is a body rub parlor in Toronto, Canada. And we are here because we decided we have a whole bunch of stories to tell.
All right. So there you go. There's my little promo. I just thought it was interesting. And this is a Toronto-centric podcast today. And I wanted to tie that in with Chester for a sec because I know he may have possibly be interested in that.
Yeah, I will be listening.
Okay. Well, Frank, you got anything else? Your agenda today.
No, I didn't have an agenda today. It was very interesting, Chester, that your email. Some of the comments that have come up, I don't know how anyone can watch movies anymore. When I watch any television, I find all I'm doing is looking for evidence of EGI, and it's pretty blatant now. And in any of the R-rated scenes that appear on TV now, the soft porn scenes, I just think, wow, they're really, there's, because of that thought that those women are probably men, it's really just throws the whole thing into chaos.
Right.
You know, this idea of EGI has the potential to wreck the entertainment industry if it gets out. I think it's a very important topic. You know, and I think that would be a tremendous move forward for
humanity,
living men and women, if the Hollywood magical soft porn industry gets wiped out. That would just be an enormous blow for the bad guys.
Yeah, well, it definitely is a different experience going to watch films now. And I'm not, like, I used to love going to see films. And
we wrecked it for you.
Yeah,
or mystery. It's not my fault.
But I don't agree that it wrecks it for you. I think you suddenly just get the tools to see what's going on. I just find it very, very powerful tool.
I want to save the women because they're idolizing and scrutinizing these men as women.
Yep.
And trying to measure themselves up against them and trying to contort their bodies into these impossible features. Yeah. And it's killing them.
My daughter actually makes her living from those women. You know, the women, the young women with the eating disorders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's young women are just turned inside out, upside down. It's a mess from those. You know, they're not benign, those movies, at all.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. And I've told my daughters that, listen, you're never going to look like these guys dressed up as women. Don't waste your time. And even if you don't believe anything I'm saying, you now have this seed in your mind.
Yeah.
So even if you don't believe what I'm saying, even if I'm completely wrong on any of my comments, now you have that modicum of doubt lingering in your brain. You can't get it out. You cannot clear it from your mind. So now you can at least think about it.
You keep looking at that.
And forgive yourselves for trying.
You keep looking at that big finger and saying, is that longest finger longer than the index finger or not? The ring finger longer
than
the index?
That's actually the last thing, because I think that's one that might even be a red herring feature, okay, because it's not true for most people. I think it's one of the worst indicators. I don't even hear anyone talking about that anymore, actually. It's down boy. It's really the pelvis. And really, there's so many other things like the Q angle, how the person walks. And there's a lot of features of the cranium, but of course they can be completely augmented. But just the size.
Well, the weird eyebrows, you know, with the bubble brow, and they paint the eyebrows on strangely, and mm-hmm. you know, there's all sorts of noses, and their eyes are too wide apart, and they just look strange as women. You just think.
Chester, yeah, you were going to say?
Oh, I don't think I did speak.
Oh no, I heard a noise. Well, either that or okay. I thought I heard a noise, but yeah, for sure. And on the last audio chats, we had some. If anyone hasn't tuned into the Fakeologist blog, where we list all the different podcasts, we had some marathon sessions on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And we had a big one today. I'll post later. But one of the new voices is Loopy, a lovely lass from Dublin, South Dublin, Ireland. And she came to this blog by way of Mr. E. And she loves Android. She loves the EGI talk. And she suggests, or maybe I got the idea, that women are way more sensitive to EGI than men. Men are, as she said, we see a couple jiggling tits and it's all over. We don't really do, we don't look much farther. So,
yeah.
But women, I think, do study their own bodies more than men. I barely look at a mirror, but I think women are way more conscious of their, how they look and how the different lines go and just the angles of their bones, including around their shoulders and neck. They're just so much more conscious of shape. And she also said they're very conscious of male energy coming off of different people. And they can detect more. I think they're more sensitive. They have more senses around men and women than just men do. Anyway, so she sees it all the time now. She can't stop seeing it. And she does really throw many of the celebrities under the bus now, because she thinks the inversion is extremely widespread. And we've heard that. I'm not really on that way of thinking the same way, but we've had a number of people that came to us independent of our research, and they think that the issue is extremely prevalent, more than we even talk about.
Mm.
But I'm not a woman, and I don't have those insights. But that was a new voice, Loopy. So, and Loopy's also a contributor now of the Fakeologist blog. So we're really grateful for her coming by. And that's all because of our androgyne Mr. E type research. And we'll take everyone in the Fakeologist tent, where we don't really discriminate in that way, because a deception's a deception is a deception. It doesn't matter what it's born from, but the androgyne one is fun because everyone is aware of celebrities. They are our idols, not mine necessarily, but man, if you are worshiping a false idol, it's even worse.
A false idol.
Yeah, false. Dingo Baby says, where are these blog marathon sessions? Well, if you go to fakeologist.blog, you'll find them. Now, if you want to go to your favorite podcast app, just type in Fakeologist Show or Fakeologist Audio Chat. They're two different streams, two different feeds, and they're all there. They're all free. There's no paywall. And we are just strictly value for value. You pay what you think this show is worth. We make it as easy as possible to get on, to get all our content. And that's the way I'm going to keep it. And thanks to people like Chester and Frank, we can keep going and keep this operation going. We're paying it forward. Any closing comments, Chester, before we take off?
I was just wondering if Frank does think that that's what that ceremony scene was about. The women, the supermodel looking, sort of looking, women in that scene.
Yeah, I think they're all trannies, yeah.
Yeah.
You had the same thought, Jester?
Yeah. Sorry, I only, as I said, watched it, and it's that look. It's that essentially the Nicole Kidman look. I think the fact that Victoria's Secret models stopped doing their catwalk runs after Mr. E pulled them up is very telling.
That happened right after?
Pretty much.
I didn't know that. That is interesting.
So when he published the next couple of catwalks, I think were cancelled directly after Mr. E's expose of Victoria's Secret, is my memory.
Well, Mr. E has quite an effect on the world.
Yeah. Dingo Baby is... I love this question. Can you see that up?
What about how they'll put this?
How they are replacing thin ladies with fat black women.
That's phase two of the demoralization campaign.
I think that's what the Queen song Fat Bottom Girls was all about, wasn't it? Yeah.
Does your dog not know you're doing a podcast?
It's hard to believe, isn't it? I'll just mute. Bye-bye, everybody.
Mute that dog. All right. Thanks, Frank.
Yep. Good talking to you, Frank.
And put that dog away, God's sakes. He comes through louder than his owner. All right, Chester. Well, that was a good call. Thanks for joining in. It was different. And this is sort of like a user feedback, listener feedback show, which are always fun because I don't do enough feeding back. And this, of course, is the only way I know anyone's listening. You cannot go by your statistics. Downloads of podcasts, they're meaningless. The only way I know if someone's listening is if they email me at ima@fakeologist.com and tell me what exactly they heard and how the show is affecting. And Chester, you did it perfectly. So I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your past donations as well. It's great.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And have a great night. And let me know if you do end up listening to that Muse podcast, if you like it, or if it's interesting, accurate. I think it's probably accurate to reality. And yeah, maybe we'll try and get him on the show, even though it has nothing to do with Fakeology. It might be fun because they're trying to promote it right now. So I can tell them we have a receptive audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll let you know. Yeah, I'll be listening, and I'll let you know what I think of it.
All right. Well, have a great night, and stay warm. It's getting cold tonight.
It is, yeah.
All right, take care.
Okay, Tim.
Okay, bye-bye, Chester. All right, there goes Chester Brown, and I put a link to the other show he was on in the show notes. I show note everything. And that's what makes this show different. It's Thursday. It's the end of the Fakeologist week. If you want to know what's next, go to fakeologist.com/live. Look at our calendar. Looks like Sunday is open. So nobody is scheduled for Sunday yet. Maybe there'll be nobody. I don't know. And 8 p.m. is the All Shots Clot Show on Monday, January 8th. And there are a few people that are emailing me to be guests, so we'll have to try and arrange those people as well. And that's it. Hope everyone has a good weekend. Stay warm if you're in Canada or any Northern Hemisphere country. And we will talk to you next time. Don't forget, fakeologist.com/donate, value for value. I won't make a big deal of it anymore on the show since we're done. Take care. Over and out. Good night.